Welcome to the Studying the Bible podcast, where every Thursday, Pastors Dylan Dodson and Brian Androsian study a book of the Bible, verse by verse, to see what is being communicated and how we can use it to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We pray that today's podcast can help you grow just a little bit closer to Christ.
Well, welcome back to our online Bible study through the book of Colossians. In this session, we'll be in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Through Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, the previous session, we saw Paul writing about the majesty and the glory and the amazingness of Jesus, and how he is over all things, he is in all things were created by him and for him. And now he's going to talk about some of the implications of what this means, and he says this in verse 24 of chapter 1, he writes this. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for his body, that is, the church." Now, much could be said here about Paul talking about he is completing something that Jesus is lacking, or that he is completing something in his afflictions that we're lacking in Christ's afflictions. That being said, what he is not saying here is that there is some deficiency in Christ's suffering. In other words, if you remember, again, the last passage we looked at, he is talking about how Jesus was over, above all things, is over all things, he is complete, he is powerful, he is God himself. And so it's not that there was anything lacking in Jesus and who he was, or even in Jesus' sufferings when he was here on earth. What he more so means here by what was lacking was the future suffering of everyone who will experience affliction for the gospel. Right, and so those people who, following Christ's examples, will experience affliction for the gospel, are also completing or continuing in what Jesus himself did for us. In other words, followers of Christ take part in Christ's suffering, and that if Christ suffered, we should also expect to suffer, right? Which again goes against a lot of the teaching where people talk about how just have enough faith, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and happy, that everything will go well for you, because that is not true of Jesus, it's not true of the apostles, and it is not true of us, that we suffer. Now again, we suffer not for being jerks or for being hateful or for being unforgiving. Like, the suffering he's talking about is for actually living out the gospel. And while you or I, you know, may not live in a place where following Jesus means really intense persecutions, it is likely true if you've been following Jesus for a while that you have been in situations where you have suffered in some way because of your faith. Maybe you didn't partake in certain gossip, and so people looked at you different or assumed that you thought you were better than other people, even though you didn't. Maybe you've missed out on promotions or things in your jobs because you wouldn't cut ethical lines like other people would do. Like, there are certain things that you might have missed out on or not been invited to because of your convictions. And so what he's saying here is, it just like Jesus suffered for doing the right thing and ultimately giving his life for us for this cause, you and I also will probably suffer if we want to honor Jesus in our life. So he continues by saying this in verse 25. He says, "I have become its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." Now, here, again, its servant here is, he's talking about being a servant of the church. Paul himself has become a servant of the church. You could think of it this way. Think of like a steward of a house, right, who is entrusted by the owner with the responsibility to tend to the needs of the guests. So he is stewarding God's house, or at least part of God's house, and he's tending to the needs of those who are part of the family of God. And so he has the responsibility to care for and to shepherd God's people that God has entrusted him with. And so this also includes us as well. But just like Paul has been entrusted with taking part in God's kingdom here on earth, so have you and so have I, that God has entrusted all of us. While our influence may be bigger or smaller, or our economic status may be larger, or we may not have much, all of us have been entrusted with something. That we are also part of God's commission here on earth to spread the good news of the gospel. And so Paul has been suffering and he's been following, he's been a servant of it, and so are you and so are me. Now, this does not mean that everyone needs to be in vocational full-time ministry, that you can be faithful in your school, in your job, in your family, with your kids, with your friends, wherever you find yourself. You have also been commissioned by God to take part not just in his sufferings, but also helping Jesus' love and grace expand throughout the earth. And this is where Paul finds himself. And so again, he says this, again, I'll read verse 25 through 27. says, I've become its servant, right? The servant of a church, of the church, according to God's commission, because God has called me to it, that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here's what's happening here, right? His goal is to make known the mystery that was hidden for the ages, but is now revealed to the saints. Now, mystery in Jewish thought is different than how you and I think of the word mystery today, right? For us, we think of something that is puzzling or secretive or not very many people know about it because it's a mystery. In Jewish thought, a mystery was not that. A mystery is not something, again, that's puzzling. It's not something that is secretive, like we like to think. But instead, mysteries were things that wise people knew about, or mysteries were things that were revealed to wise people. And so the point is that you actually can comprehend a mystery. And the mystery that Paul is talking about here is the saving work of God through Jesus that has been revealed to all the saints. Now, again, saints here, depending on your tradition, you might think of saints as people that were venerated or people that lived really, really holy lives. And so they were set apart in some way, right? That's not what Paul is talking about here. In the first century context, in a biblical context, a saint is everybody who's a follower of Jesus, man or woman. Anybody who is in the family of God is a saint. And so this mystery of God's salvation, as Paul is talking about here, was meant to be made known among the Gentiles, right? In other words, it was meant to be made known for everyone all over the earth, not just the Jewish people. In other words, it's not meant to be kept or to be guarded or to only let a few people know about what's going on. If you kind of think of like a cult, that's not what's going on here. It's not for a certain group of people or a certain class of people or for a certain ethnicity of people. Instead, the mystery of God's salvation through Christ is the hope of glory for all people. It's something that anybody can understand and comprehend. And so Paul's life mission, as he's writing to the Colossians, is that he is trying to help make this mystery known to them. He's trying, and what is the mystery? Again, Jesus and who he is and the implications that Christ has on our lives. And so again, this mystery is not some secretive thing that only certain people are allowed to know if they act a certain way or do certain things. The mystery is that God's grace is available to everyone, that anyone can receive the grace and mercy of God and have Christ change their life. And so his mission is to reveal this mystery, to make it common knowledge to anyone who would know, accept, believe, and trust in Jesus. That is what he is doing. And so he says this in verse 28. He says, we proclaim him, talking about Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone, again, not just some people, not just the Jewish people, but everyone mature in Christ. He says, I labor for this, striving with his strength, with Christ's strength, that works powerfully in me. In other words, Christ's design here is to present his people to the Father as holy and blameless. And it's not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And so what Paul is talking about here is that he is working for the Colossians' sanctification. Right? Sanctification is a biblical word you might hear from time to time, which essentially means becoming more like Jesus, or the process of growing in Christ's likeness, of loving people the way Christ loved people, forgiving people, giving people grace, walking in the power of the Spirit. Right, his goal here is to work towards the Colossians that they may know the wisdom and the grace and mercy of God, and that by his strength that they may be matured in Christ, that they also may live out what they know to be true, that they may, through the power of the Spirit, let Christ's power and his love and his mercy live and work through them. Right, because the goal here is to become more like Christ, not to have some secretive knowledge, but the goal is to love Jesus, to know Jesus, and to become more like Jesus. And so again, Paul is what he's talking about here is proclaiming him and teaching about him and warning people about the wisdom that they should come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus. And so this is what Paul works towards. And then he says this in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "For I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person." In other words, as we've talked about here, that Paul is writing this letter to kind of combat some of the false teaching and some of the false teachers that are presumably claiming that they have special access to God, that they have special access to the mysteries of God, which would have been a common thing in the first century. And if we're honest, it's a common thing today where people say, hey, come and learn from me, come and do some things for me, and then you can actually know who God is or the spirits or how God or the power of God. But what Paul is doing is he is pointing to the fact that the mysteries of God, again, they are not a secret. They are made known in Jesus. They are revealed in Christ and to all that follow him. And so he's struggling to let them know this, right? And now, again, Laodicea is the nearest city to Colossae. It's about 9 miles away, which is why he mentions them. The Colossians would have been familiar. And so again, Paul, again, his hope, and he's saying that he cares for the believers, both in Laodicea and Colossae, even though he has yet to meet them in person, right? So he hasn't met them in person. If you remember from chapter 1, Epaphras is the one who planted the church, and he's the one who let Paul know what was going on. And so he's saying, hey, I'm struggling for you, and I care for you. I care for you, I care for the Laodiceans, I care for all followers of Christ. And he says this in verse 2. He says, I want their hearts to be encouraged, so the Laodiceans and the Colossians, and join together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, which again is Christ. That's the point here, that God's mystery is something that is revealed and something that is knowable. It's not just for religious teachers or for people who do certain things. It is open for everyone. The mysteries of God, again, are not a secret. They are revealed in Christ, which is why, again, in chapter 1, Paul talks so much about the power and the majesty and the glory of Jesus, that he would become God incarnate for us, God in the flesh for us, that he would reveal to us visibly the invisible and the powerful and the loving God. And so then he closes by saying this, the last verse we'll read in this session, verse 3. He says, in him, so talking about Jesus here, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus. What he's saying here is that everything that you and I need for salvation, for the redemption, the grace and mercy of God is not found in ourselves and our own hard work, but found in Christ. For Paul, there is no hidden knowledge in the sense of people can't know about it, and he'll talk more about he'll confront this idea of hidden knowledge later on in Colossians, that many people thought that only some people could attain. He's like, that's not what about following Jesus is about, that anybody can actually know and follow him, that everything is found in moving closer and becoming more like Christ. In other words, if you want to know the mysteries of God, then you and I are to follow Jesus. We are to give our lives to Jesus. We are to pray and ask for God's wisdom. And it's not about going finding it on our own. It's about being faithful to where God has placed us and loving the people he has placed in our life so that they might get a taste of the kingdom of God that we have experienced as well. And so to close, I'm going to give you three kind of main takeaways from Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Here they are. Number one, that the mystery of God is meant to be understood. As we've seen very clearly in this passage, the mysteries of God are not secretive. They're not something that you have to work for. They're not intentionally hidden from us. They are meant to be understood in Christ. And as we follow Jesus and discover more of him, that's how we discover more of who God is. The mystery of God is meant to be something that is understood to all people. And so we go and live in a way that God might use us to take a part in helping other people see and experience his grace. Number two, we see that Jesus is God revealed to us, right? Jesus, all the mysteries of God, all the secrets, all the hidden knowledge of God and his grace and his plan of salvation are revealed in Jesus. Jesus is God revealed to us. And so if you want to know about God and his power and his grace, you've got to follow Jesus. Jesus is God revealed to us. And number three, lastly, that everyone has a part to play in the mission of God. All of us. Again, it's not just for the religious leaders. It's not just for the people who have more money economically or people who have more power relationally or socially, that all of us have a part to play in the kingdom of God. All of us have a part to play in sharing this wisdom, this mystery with other people so that other people can experience the grace and mercy of God, which is why Paul in Colossians and his other letters he puts so much emphasis on living a way that is worthy, as we talked about in the previous session, worthy to be called a follower of Christ, that we should live in a way that people want to experience His goodness so that we can share with people the grace and the mercy and the realization that the mystery of God is revealed, that Jesus is the invisible God made visible to us. Everyone has a part to play in the mystery and the mission of God.